You know, we've reported on this, and I almost hate reporting on this, that Kristen Stewart, who has a relationship that is a couple or was a couple with Robert Pattinson from the Twilight Pictures,
right.
That she cheated on him with the director of Snow White and the Huntsman, and in what appears to be a moral stance on the part of Hollywood.
Which is just unconscionable.
They've written Kristen Stewart out of the sequel of Snow White and the Huntsman to focus on the Huntsman. So there must be some kind of contract
problem. And I put up quotation marks in the air that you can't see. Gentleman that directed the film, Rupert, what's his name?
Yeah, Sanders.
He's going to direct
Rupert
the
Sanders,
new one.
Yes.
He's not being impacted. This just screams of sexism. Here's this 22-year-old woman who has a brief entanglement with a man 19 years older than her who is married with children, and she's taking all the public flack. We've got a problem. We're looking at this one. Not only is it not our business, but since we've made it our business, we are not being at all fair.
Well, but the person who got the worst of this, apparently, is the screenwriter that had been working on the screenplay for the sequel.
He's got to throw it out and start over?
He's got thrown out. So
I'm sure he's getting paid.
Anyway, there's several levels of irony. You know, we should make a movie of it.
You know, I mean, people make mistakes.
Well, but so don't feel too bad for Robert Pattinson, though, because he is doing very smart things with his career. He's looking to do a lot of indie films, and his next film is going to be with Werner Herzog, and the name of the film is Queen of the Desert, and he's going to play Lawrence of Arabia, T.E. Lawrence. This is not a remake of Lawrence of Arabia. It's just another story that it's set in the early 20th century in that time.
So he will not be reprising the Valentino role.
Well, not the Valentino role. It was from the 1950s.
Oh, what's his
60s.
Name?
And
Sharif. Sharif?
No.
I even know what character I'm talking about?
You don't. So anyway, but he's playing T.E. Lawrence, and it should be very interesting. And so we'll see what happened there. But the general consensus that he's being very smart with his career. Some people are concerned that he's not the actor with the greatest amount of depth. But we'll see how he develops over time. And he's investing himself in these smaller projects with major directors, and that's really interesting. Now Shia LaBeouf, who was in the Transformer films, the billion-dollar
I never saw one of them
franchise, and he's been in other stuff as well. He says, "I'm sick of Hollywood. I'm not going to do any more of those big Hollywood movies." And he had a bad experience with the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Indiana Jones film, and he was kind of disappointed with Steven Spielberg. And Steven Spielberg said, "Look, there are times that you need to be a human being and have an opinion, and there's other times just to sell cars." kind of a wise, but certainly jaded
kind of
view, but based on reality. And anyway, so Shia LaBeouf, we'll see what happens to him. If you dangle millions of dollars in front of people, sometimes
he'll jump, and if he decides to disappear, you know, it's the nature of the beast that he'll likely just get forgotten.
Well, speaking of actors who have a lot of credibility on several levels, Michelle Williams is opening in a film this week at the Michigan Theater called Take This Waltz.
She's fabulous in everything.
She's very good. She's very good. And she appears with Seth Rogen, who is another clever guy. He writes films, he acts in films, does lots of stuff, and Michelle Williams is Seth Rogen's wife in this movie, but this guy across the street, played by Luke Kirby, is really appealing to her, and even though she's married to Seth Rogen's character, she's very strongly attracted to this across the street neighbor. And the reviews for Michelle Williams for the movie itself are very strong, 70%, better than 70%
right.
ratings.
But the movie itself, not so high?
Well, no, for the movie
the
itself.
The movie itself.
Yeah,
No,
absolutely. Okay. And one of the critics says, this romantic drama starring the always extraordinary Michelle Williams as a restless married woman contemplating the affair with her neighbor is chock full of individual moments of great power and beauty, including visual beauty. The New York Times says Susan Polley, who was the director of the film, and has done, and she's acted and is very, very talented, relatively young director, as a writer, director, and of actor of considerable talent, excels at managing the idiosyncrasies and contradictions of her character so that the knowledge of them is both immediate and mined with potential surprises. Another review said that the way that that this is presented, it's not judgmental in terms of the way that the movie plays out. It lets the audience sit there and figure out what they think about the situation. So anyway, Take This Waltz is a very nice acting exercise by a lot of great actors that are put in a wonderful frame. So it's definitely worth checking out. Now, opening at the multiplexes are three films, two of them, which, you know, may not sound really good on the surface to people that like films at the Michigan Theater, but they've gotten pretty good reviews, are The Expendables 2.
That with every action star of the 70s and 80s?
Every action star of the 70s. Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, even the 90s. Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren, Liam Hemsworth, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Chuck Norris, Claude Van Damme, to name a few of the folks that are in this movie.
And, of course, Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis is in it as well. But the reviews are in the 60s in terms of positive. It's gotten a fresh rating from Rotten Tomatoes. and it's taut, humorous, and attractively packaged. Most people, most of the critics that gave it a positive review said, you know, it's pretty silly, but it knows it's silly, and it tips its hand to that dynamic, which makes it kind of fun to watch.
This is a franchise that has the potential for a 7 and an 8.
We'll see. Variety said, redundant, bombastic, and cheekily self-aware, The Expendables is also savvy enough to supply its own auto-critique. So, yeah.
Now,
anyway,
some of these guys are, you know, in their early and mid-60s, so maybe there won't be that many more.
So anyway, if you like those kind of action things and you like a little tongue in the cheek of that kind of thing, it's probably worth it. Paranorman is created by Laka Studios, which does stop animation, and was very well reviewed for the film Coraline. And this is an animated film. It's the stop animation, claymation kind of stuff. And it's about this small town that's under siege by zombies. And of course, the
claymation zombies may be more frightening than, you know, the Hollywood version.
That's right. Well, if you watch the Olympics, this was pretty heavily advertised during the Olympics. Norman, the teenage hero of the movie, saves the day, of course. And the reviews have been generally positive, not overwhelmingly positive, but generally positive, a little bit better than The Expendables 2. So yeah, that's good. Now, a film that didn't get any advanced reviews, which is kind of too bad because there's a nice Detroit connection.
Yeah, the whole thing was filmed here.
Is Sparkle. Yeah, exactly. So this is Whitney Houston's last film, and she played the single mother of three daughters, and one of the daughters named Sparkle is on the road to a major pop music career. So
yeah,
anyway,
I think it's actually having a red carpet premiere event in Royal Oak tonight.
Yeah, it is. And so anyway, but there aren't any advanced reviews. We'll see how it goes. Special screenings downtown. The Jerk is the summer classic film. It's kind of hard to think of The Jerk as a classic film, but you know.
Well, you know what? I loved it when it came out. It must have been in a different place in my life because I've tried to rewatch it and it doesn't hold up as well.
Steve Martin is very funny, but Steve Martin plays Steve Martin, and he plays a white kid that was raised by a black family in the South. And
which stemmed from his old comedy albums back
exactly,
in the 70s.
Exactly. You know. And then he, and it's directed by Carl Reiner, who's very good, and he discovers that he's really attracted to elevator music, to easy listening music, instead of, you know, the blues that surround him in the household. And his mother breaks it to him that, well, he's just a different ethnic. So he goes out in search of the world.
Becomes a highly successful inventor.
That's right.
And lands Bernadette Peters.
So anyway, people can have fun with that on Sunday and Tuesday. And then there's a very special screening of a film called Iron Sky. And this was actually actually a crowdsourcing kind of screening that took place. And so there's this organization called TUG, and if you are very passionate about a film, and we happen to have a little time slot available, you can call them up and figure out if there's enough other people interested in screening. So there were enough other people interested in seeing the screening, and it's about this, it's a sci-fi thing about a space station that is located on the back side of the moon that dates back to Nazi Germany in World War II.
There is no dark side of the moon, really.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, this has been going on, and then it becomes discovered that it's been growing there for the last 70, 80 years, and it's so it's a sci-fi thriller. You can go check it out on Thursday, a week from today, at 7 o'clock. So it's called Iron Sky. Anyway, and there's lots of films that are playing that you got to go see. Ruby Spark.
Everybody I know that's seen it loved it.
Exactly. Another one is The Intouchables. If you haven't seen Beast of the Southern Wild, a lot of people, including myself, think that's the best film of the year. So you go check it out. Not everyone thinks that, but anyway, I really like Beast.
A lot of good choices. So go to the movies, and we'll see you there. For Russ Collins, I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to another installment of Cinema Chat exclusively on 89.1 WEMU.
Ta-ta from Hollywood.